Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
I'm broadcasting from Southern California this week, where Democrats hope to flip 4 Republican House seats. Voters in California are also electing a new governor and deciding whether to reelect longtime Democratic Senator Dianne Feinstein. Joining us now are 2 journalists who cover politics in California. From San Francisco, we've got Scott Schaefer, senior editor for KQED. Hi, Scott.
Hey, Jeremy.
And with me in the studio at KPCC in Pasadena is Mary Plummer, who's political correspondent for KPCC. Hi, Mary.
Hey there.
So let's start with the governor's race. Jerry Brown is not able to run again because of term limits. The race is between his lieutenant governor, Gavin Newsom, a Democrat, and Republican businessman John Cox. Scott, you just moderated the first and possibly only debate this week on KQED. Let's listen to a little of what Gavin Newsom said first.
The California dream is predicated on social mobility, the richest and the poorest state. We have to mine that gap. We have to address the issue of cost of housing. We have to address the issue of affordability broadly. We have to address the issue of homelessness, and we have to tackle the vexing issue of health care and the issues related to health care that are devouring the state budget.
And here's Republican John Cox.
I have a vision of this state being affordable and livable for people. I think we can do that if we get rid of the special interest influence in Sacramento. The interest groups that inhabit Sacramento benefit from the status quo. The status quo isn't working for average working Californians. They can't afford to live here, and that's why they're leaving.
Sounds like they both agree that California is getting to be unaffordable for a lot of people. Scott, Newsom has a big lead in the polls. Does Cox have a chance?
Well, it's tough. The math is tough for him. The last time a Republican won a statewide race in California, 2006, his name was Arnold Schwarzenegger. And the Republicans have just seen their share of the electorate shrinking. They're now literally a third party in California. Democrats are about 44% of the electorate, declined to state, independent voters, no party preference voters, 27%. And the GOP now down to about 25%, just a quarter of the electorate. So in order for somebody like John Cox to win, he has to have a lot of appeal to independent voters and some conservative Democrats. And so we just really haven't seen that yet in the polling. I mean, it's just a tough place California is for Republicans to win statewide.
If Newsom wins, Mary, will it be basically like another term for Jerry Brown or different?
You know, Governor Brown has been very aggressive against many of President Trump's policies. And Newsom has indicated he'd take a similar approach, especially on issues like, you know, immigration, health care, environmental issues. Newsom supports sanctuary cities, for example. He backs California becoming a zero carbon emissions state. But there are a couple areas where he's indicated he'd be willing to invest more heavily than Brown has. One of those areas is early childhood. During the recession, state funding for programs like infant toddler care and preschool was severely cut. Those funds have not been restored under Governor Jerry Brown. Newsom has indicated he'd be willing to invest more heavily there. We're seeing that issue reflected in TV ads that he's running as well.
Well, and as you mentioned, Jerry Brown has gone up against President Trump. The state has sued the Trump administration more than a dozen times over everything from environmental issues to immigration. President Trump slammed California right back. Here he is earlier this year at an event touting his plan for a border wall.
No, I think the governor's doing a terrible job running the state of California. And, you know, hey, I have property in California, I will say. I don't think too much about my property anymore, but I have great property in California. The taxes are way, way out of whack. And people are going to start to move pretty soon. And if you don't have safety, meaning if you don't have this kind of wall, the drugs are pouring through in California. Can't do it.
Scott, there are several congressional races in California that are up for grabs this year. How is President Trump playing in the state as voters prepare to go to the polls next month?
Well, in like a lot of blue states, Jeremy, Donald Trump is not popular in California. I mean, Hillary Clinton got more than 3 million more votes than Donald Trump did, and he's still way underwater. Last statewide poll showed him at about 30% approval rating, maybe a little higher among likely voters. So I'm not sure the Republicans who are running, the incumbents running for reelection, or the challengers or the newcomers running for open seats necessarily want Donald Trump out here. Their problem in these really close races this is going to be appealing to independent voters, and Donald Trump does not do well with them. He is not going to be helpful to these Republican candidates in persuading them to vote for the Republican in these congressional races.
And Mary, what are the issues that those independent voters are thinking about? This is a state that, like the rest of the country right now, has a pretty low unemployment rate. If anything, the problem is people can't find the workers that they need to fill the jobs. It's not like that's a major issue, but obviously affordability is big. What else?
Affordability, homelessness. Here in the LA area, we're dealing with a massive homeless crisis. That's an issue that we've seen play out in the governor's race and also in the congressional races. You know, there are just issues of affordability that I think a lot of these no party preference voters, which is what we call the unaffiliated voters here in California, care really deeply about.
Let's talk about the Senate race in California that's going on. Longtime Senator Dianne Feinstein is facing another Democrat because in California, the top two vote getters face each other in the general election. State Senator Kevin De Leon is the one facing Feinstein. And Feinstein is weathering some criticism for her handling of the Kavanaugh hearing. She's the ranking member on the Judiciary Committee. Here she is during the hearings.
This isn't a political battle for power, as some have said. This is a serious undertaking with serious allegations.
Scott, is she vulnerable?
Maybe. Certainly, she's been ahead in every poll. She won every single county in California in the June primary. I think Kevin De Leon just hasn't been her challenger, the Democrat from L.A., just hasn't really gotten a lot of traction. He doesn't have a lot of money. The media aren't paying a lot of attention to this race. Feinstein so far has refused to debate, to give them sort of a platform to get some attention. And so it's really hard. That said, you know, I haven't seen her above 44, 46, maybe 47% in any of the polls. So and because there's two Democrats at the top of the ticket, a lot of Republicans may skip this race altogether. And that I'm not sure is going to help Feinstein, because those are people who, if they had to pick one of these two Democrats, they would probably go with her. She is more of a centrist than her opponent. So it's possible, certainly. It's not entirely clear how this Kavanaugh thing is playing for her. I've heard women very strongly defending her, that she was respecting Christine Ford. And you know, so they're not critical. But, well, you know, it's I haven't seen broad
polling.
Well,
but one thing that we have seen is that in Saturday Night Live has made fun of the fact that a lot of the people on both sides of the aisle during those Kavanaugh hearings were pretty old. She's 85 years old. He's 51. He's talked about that. He's careful about it. But he's listened to him talking to us about the fact that he says he's going to have a new generation of leadership.
I think that she subscribes to country club rules in Washington that are grossly outdated and no longer apply to California and to the rest of the country.
Mary, the age issue, is that on voters' minds?
You know, I think it is for some, especially for younger voters here in California. De Leon's arguments are certainly resonating most with the progressive side of the Democratic Party here. You know, if we rewind back to 2016, Bernie Sanders' presidential campaign had a very active group of supporters in California. Many of them were young people getting engaged in politics for the first time. Some of those folks are resonating more and looking for a change in the Senate race. But as Scott mentioned, the polling indicates, you know, strong favorability for Feinstein. So we'll be watching this ahead. She seems to have a pretty substantial cushion right now, but we're still, you know, a little less than a month away.
Right. And Scott, there's one thing we haven't talked about that has come up in our conversations here in Southern California, which is that there is a measure on the ballot to repeal a gas tax that may actually play a role in getting people out to the polls.
Well, that's what Republicans were hoping, Jeremy. They put Prop 6 on the ballot. In fact, John Cox, the Republican candidate for governor, really funded that drive to collect the signatures, put it on the ballot. Polling shows it's not as popular as you might expect because, you know, everyone pays the gas tax if you drive. No one's particularly happy about having to pay it. It's about a 12 cents per gallon tax, but it generates $5 billion a year for transportation, roads, bridges, highways. And so the No on 6 campaign's done, I think, a pretty good job of saying they're trying to take away money to keep our highways and our infrastructure in good shape.
Well, and that's the thing that the experts have said for a long time is if you want, you know, the roads to be in good shape, if you want more money for transportation, you've got to raise the gas tax. But I will say, unlike on the East Coast, where I'm paying something like $2.60 a gallon, here I've seen gas stations that are over $4 a gallon. So we'll see how that plays out. Scott Schaefer at KQED and Mary Plummer here at KPCC. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.